The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will raise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it by his arm, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come up. Come on up. Take a spoon. Go ahead and take a spoon. Go ahead and take one. There you go. There you go, Calvin. Take one. There you go. Clara, you want to take one? There you go. You want to take one? Give one to your brother. He can. You want to hold one? There you go. So, in our second lesson today, we hear the words, "draw near," or "get close to God." And if we get close to God, it says God will be close with us. And so what the paper says is that 15 minutes a day, twice a day, try to spend some time feeding yourself. So you got a spoon, feeding yourself with things that will get you close to God. See, I did that. So, to pray in the morning before you go to school or before you go to bed, to spend time reading the Bible, to spend time talking about God with family members or friends, but to take time every day to draw close, to get near to God. And God will be near to you. All right? Yeah? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have sent to us. May it inspire us and be with us to draw us near and keep us close to you. And continue to show us ways that we can be fed. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Go in peace. And, you know, these spoons were actually out there. And so they will be back out there for everyone to take one on your way out, because it's just not a children's message. But like the Bible says, we are all children of God. And so this is for all of us. So please take a spoon and think about ways in which you can feed your faith to draw near to God every single day. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Are you still looking for the Messiah or for a Messiah? I mean, are you trying to build a bridge into the 21st century? Have you proclaimed mission accomplished? Maybe it's hope and change that we're talking about today. Or God forbid, it's MAGA. But we always seem to find ourselves trying to vote for someone and anoint them as ruler and king to make things right. To right wrongs that we seem to think are happening in the world. To restore power and to bring restoration to those who have been done wrong. Whether it's one side of the aisle or the other, we find ourselves trapped in this continuous motion of getting pulled into righting the wrongs of the other, restoring power. And what we end up trying to do is find ways to get close to that power that we've put there. Well, close to it, if it agrees with us. I mean, right? So Jesus is out walking with his disciples. And all of a sudden, it's time for him to have a really hard conversation with them. It's a continuation of some teaching that he's already been given. But it's got to get deeper again. Because Peter has already made the proclamation that he is the Messiah. And Jesus knows all the things that are tied into that for Peter. And so Jesus takes a different way to Galilee, alone with his disciples, to teach them. To say that the Son of Man, changing the title, proclaimed Messiah, but to change it to say the Son of Man, is going to be handed over, that he's going to be executed, and that 3 days later he will rise again. But they don't get it. And because they don't get it, they continue to try to tie themselves to their understanding of Messiah, because he is the Messiah. And so they begin this argument amongst themselves of who is the closest to him, who is the greatest amongst us. I mean, it's got to be Peter, right? Because Peter's the one who is always like, you're the Messiah and you're the greatest. I got to be with you for the transfiguration. And they argue back and forth along the way. And when they get to where they're going, Jesus turns to them and asks him, well, what are you guys arguing about? And still sort of really perplexed by what Jesus has said, and also not really wanting to out themselves about the conversation they were having, they're still sort of silent. But Jesus knows what they were talking about. Any good teacher who turns their back to write on a board knows exactly what the class is mumbling behind them, right? I can see some of the teachers in the room snickering. And so Jesus knows what they were mumbling about and talking about. And Jesus' response to this is to turn it on its head. He goes and he grabs a child and brings a child in their midst and says, you've got to be like this. You've got to believe like this. You've got to respond to the world like this. This child who needs another person to survive. This child who on their own would be lost and would most certainly die. This is who you have to be like. Because if you're like this one, if you are like this one, then you'll allow these ones in. And if you allow the people in who are on the outside, if you allow the ones in who need help, then you'll be with me. And not only will you be with me, but you'll be with the one who sends me. But for some reason, we're still looking for the Messiah. We still align ourselves with power, even when we think it will help the poor, the sick, and the outsider. We turn ourselves and our ears off to the words of Christ and align ourselves with the powers of the world over and over and over again, thinking that we will get a different result. And what happens? Change is no change at all. The mission isn't accomplished. And we have to sit and ask ourselves, when exactly was America great for everyone? Because in these earthly powers, there ends up being a destructive power that happens to the outsider. There ends up being this system that continues to move no matter what side of the aisle, because Jesus doesn't sit in an aisle. Jesus is out with the people. And Jesus is showing us this best way forward. That Christ comes as heaven on earth, where demons are cast out, where the blind see, where the hungry eat, where the sick are healed. And we are called into this foretaste of the kingdom. Not to be tied to some political power, not to be tied to what the empire offers, but to be tied to our Lord and Savior, the one who sits with the tax collectors and the sinners, the one who dares sit with the women at the well. The one who dares to cast out in the name of God. The one who fights back against the empire by doing God's will. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, like the last verse in James says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. It doesn't say draw near to empire. It doesn't say draw near to Democrat or Republican, draw near to political party, draw near to the richest person in the room, but draw near to God. And drawing near to God is to cast out demons. Drawing near to God is giving sight to the blind, is to feeding the hungry, is to healing the sick, is to being the kingdom now for those who can't see it, who can't feel it, who are rejected. Get your hymnal. I know, Pastor Mike's calling us to be interactive. Get your hymnal. Turn to the hymn we sang, 641. Look at verse 4. Read it with me. Let us build. Amen.